Hello?
I don't know what just happened. That was ringing, but there's nowhere to answer.
That was me. I fucked up. It's okay. Turn off your video, though, because we need the bandwidth.
Oh, can we be on this?
What?
We need the bandwidth.
What? No, you need to... okay, good.
I just wanted to say...
So I'm eating with these... I didn't show you when we were on video, but I have these training wheel chopsticks for kids that I'm eating this with.
You're Trader Joe's Bibimbap.
Yeah.
With chopsticks.
All right.
Are we recording now? I need to wash my hands. I'm having a little OCD moment.
Yes, we're on.
Okay. Well, I'm taking you in the bathroom to wash my hands because I'm just feeling weird, like they're dirty.
That's good.
Yeah. So, like very OCD.
So what are your... What is it like? First impressions?
Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam.
Oy vey.
Hold on. I'm just kidding. Hold on.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just feeling like really like my hands are filthy. I don't know. It's just gross to me.
Why are you washing your hands? Were you shit eating or something? Were you eating and shitting?
Yeah, I just wiped my shit with my own bare hands. I thought I don't know. I just felt gross just now. Like I needed to wash my hands. That's over. Now they're clean.
Do they eat dessert first in Israel?
Yeah, it's very European.
I love dessert first.
I'm having dessert right now. I wish you could see it, but Skittles. Since the video is off, you can't.
Skittles?
No, they're like, I don't eat like fruity desserts. I eat chocolate.
Okay.
They're like basically, you remember Kix? You know that cereal Kix?
Yeah.
They're like chocolate-covered Kix, basically. I mean, they're not called that, but that's I'm telling you that's what I'm eating.
Okay. Do they change your duty into different colors?
No, they're chocolate. What color was... What?
But Kix wasn't chocolate. Kix had made my duty different colors. Or is that Kaboom? No, I was Kaboom.
You're thinking of Kaboom. Kix are like little corn puffs.
Okay.
They're just like normal color. They're like...
Normal
they're
duty.
Just like corn puffs. I'm trying to read the... I think they're called... Kaleel, maybe. I can't tell what's a letter and what's a decoration.
Falafel.
Kaleek... Cleek. I think they're called Cleek.
Okay. So tell me about what's going on. I want to hear what happened, because I know you had a rough start, but then do you like it now? As Israel, you're in Jerusalem, right?
I'm in Jerusalem.
And so,
should we just start at the beginning?
Sure.
Okay. So, you know, I tell long stories, so just cut me off when you get bored. But, I think as you remember, like when I first was like landing.
Yeah.
Like, I did not even know where I was going when I got off the plane.
Mm-hmm. Literally.
I didn't have, like, literally.
Yeah.
And I got on, like, I know my school is in a neighborhood called Har Nof, which is, like, a neighborhood.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. You're going to the school of Hard Knocks?
Yeah, Hard Knocks.
That's awesome. Okay.
No, the school is, I'm going to stop eating on the air. Okay. It's called Neve.
Mm-hmm. Oive, yeah.
And it's. Oy vey and Hard Knocks. And I got off the plane. I did not know where I was going. I only found I was coming to Israel just like catch the listeners up.
Right.
Like 3 weeks before I was leaving. Mm-hmm. And I packed up all my shit and put it in storage.
Mm-hmm.
And like tried to get everything squared away that I could. But the one thing I did not get squared away was where I would be staying when I arrived in Israel.
Mm-hmm. Minor detail.
So, yeah, minor. Yeah.
Okay.
So, the school I'm going to has dorms, but, like, the average age of the students is much younger than me, obviously, because I'm, like, an old hag and, like, a very weird freak show here. So, like, so it's really true. So, but I was like, okay, like, if I don't figure out where I'm staying, even though they don't want me to stay in the dorms, I'm sure, like, the first night they're not going to, like, let me be on the street, you know what I mean, if I need a place to stay, like, when it started coming down to it. Like, I was actively looking for a place, and then it came time where, like, I really had to focus on packing and, like, getting my shit together.
Yeah.
And then it was, like, time to leave, and I was like, holy crap, I still don't know where I'm going. So I got onto an email listserv for, like, the neighborhood I was staying in. I would just kind of watch it in case anyone had an apartment for rent or whatever.
Right.
And they were all, like, 3 bedrooms and shit like that. And
expensive.
I was like, oh, fuck. Like, I'm leaving. Well, I just don't need a 3-bedroom apartment. It's not even that they're expensive. It's just, like, what?
And so, then you found the lady with an open sore on her leg.
No. So I, like when I got off the plane, there was an email that was like, there's a studio apartment available.
Yeah.
So I like emailed the woman. I was like, is it available right now? I just like landed at the airport. I don't know where I'm going.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, and I called her on Skype and I was like, can I just come over? And then like the Skype cut out. So I like, barely got the address, which is like, I couldn't really even understand what she was saying anyway, because it was all like Hebrew words.
Right.
And I was like, okay, whatever. So I just like got in the, I forget what they're called, like a group cab, and mm-hmm. it has a Hebrew name. And
short
I just
bus.
Like took it.
Short bus?
Basically a short bus, yeah. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So I, what?
I'm just active listening with sarcasm. Mm-hmm. Short bus, that's all. Go ahead.
Yeah, short bus. So I got here and I like somehow found the building and I was like exhausted. Of course, it was a super long flight and I'm all disoriented. It's like 100 million degrees out and I'm like rolling mm-hmm. my suitcases down the street. At which point I realized, I am in an extremely religious neighborhood.
Why? How like, did you realize that? Because the people were dressed that way? Or?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's like if you landed in an Amish town, you would know you're in an Amish town.
Uh-huh.
If you landed in, like, a town that had, like, that's nice, like a polygamist Mormon town in Utah, you would realize where you were.
Got it.
Yeah, like everyone's like in Hasidic garb and it's like 100 degrees out. So I was like, wow. I mean, no one was even dressed normal with the yarmulke. Everyone's like dressed in Hasidic clothes.
Yeah.
So it's like, holy crap. So I find the building and then, but I don't know like which apartment, like the woman I'm trying to find lives in or anything. So I just stand outside and I'm just like yelling her name. I'm like, I'm going to make up a fake name.
And you make a funny name?
Oh, we'll call her. Okay. What? I'm like...
Wait, what are we calling her? I missed that.
I didn't say yet. I'm trying to think of a name.
Oh, okay.
I'm like, Queen Latifah. I'm just like standing outside the building like Romeo and Juliet, like yelling her name. I'm like, Latifah.
No, come on. It has to be more Jewish than that.
Okay.
And less
so I'm
lesbian.
I'm like standing outside the building and I'm like, Hadassah.
Okay.
Hadassah. Like that is like a really weird way to find the person, but I did not know what apartment she was in.
You were just
so
screaming her name in the middle of the street.
Yeah.
Like a complete crazy in a religious neighborhood.
Yes.
My God, are you a mess? Oh my good Christ. Like just in the middle of the street?
Not in the middle of the street. Like, I'm at the building, but I don't know what apartment number she's in.
And you're like, Hadassah Lichtenstein.
Exactly.
Eigewalt.
Yes.
Eigewalt.
So she comes downstairs, and I'm like, oh, hey. And I mean, she's like basically like in a robe, like a house robe and a turban. I'm
and you're like hey,
wow.
Hadassah Lichtenstein.
Yeah.
Nice to, I'm so glad. You must have been like, very relieved.
Yeah. I didn't know what I was feeling at that point. It was a swirling of emotions, basically.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay. She's like, oh, and then she shows me the studio.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked around and like, it's my first experience with an Israeli apartment, you know?
Right.
I wouldn't call it luxurious accommodations is what I'm trying to say.
It was horrible.
Well, okay. Like, I thought it was horrible at the time.
And okay, then, I got you. Yeah.
So I look at it, and I'm like, okay. And it was like, I just, like, sat down on this chair. Uh-huh. And I was like, she's just standing there like, okay, like, this is the place. And she was, like, renting it like a vacation rental, so it had weekly rental prices. And I was like, okay, like, no matter what, like, this place could be a good place for a week, you know what I mean? Was what I was thinking before I got there. But now that I saw it, I was like, okay, I'm just going to sit down in this chair and cry for a minute.
Uh-huh. After she left?
In front of her. That's what I said to her. I said, I just need to sit down and cry for a minute.
And what did she say?
She said, okay. So I sat down in this, like, filthy chair and just wept.
Why?
I don't know, just the stress of the trip, and like this place was crazy, and I was like, what am I got myself into? This neighborhood is like really religious.
Okay, so it wasn't like a relief cry. It was a really shitty cry.
No, it was like, holy shit, where am I? Cry.
Yeah, okay.
Like, they cried.
You're fucked.
Literally 60 seconds, and then I stopped. And I was like, okay. And I, like, wiped my tears away. And I was like, okay, I'll take it for the week. Like,
yeah.
Like, what am I going to do? Like, this is great. Like, thank God. I mean, even then I could see, have perspective. Like, thank God I found a place at all. This is, like, amazing. You know what I mean? And it was, like, $200 and change.
200? So, like,
That's
not for a week. Okay, yeah. Gotcha.
Yeah. But I don't know. Like, I don't have any frame of reference for what, like, apartment cost here, that's a great deal or a bad deal or whatever,
right?
But I know that it's, you know, safe, furnished, and it exists, which is like light years ahead of where I was when I got on the, you know what I mean? So whatever, so I had my little cry, and she waited patiently for me while I wept,
right?
And then I gave her money, and then the story gets kind of boring from here. Like, we don't need to go in that much detail.
Okay, but you were miserable. I know you were... Hang on.
Well, hold...
Okay.
Suffice to say that after that, I had, like, one friend in Israel, and I went. I needed Wi-Fi, because, like, through all of these shenanigans, I'm teaching online, which is crazy. You know what I mean?
Right.
So it's like, I really had to get online and, like, update my classroom. Or it's like, I don't want to get fired while I'm here and, like, screw up my class.
Right.
So I had, like, one friend in Israel, so I was like, can I please come over and use your interwebs? And he said yes. And so then I had to, like, figure out the bus to get there. And everybody before I came was like, oh, don't worry, everyone in Israel speaks English.
Right.
All the signs are in English. This is not true for anyone who's thinking of coming.
It's easy to say that when you're not in Israel, huh?
Yeah, yeah, very easy. So, I mean, Israel's awesome. I'm just saying, like, it's not all in English.
Okay. Well, no, that sounds like one of those dumb tourist things people say so they can show you they know everything.
Yeah, and I'm sure at the touristy places, like, if you go to, like, a pizza place, like, right by a tourist spot, they will speak English.
And the airport.
But maybe not in this neighborhood.
And,
anywhere
where people want your money, basically.
Yeah.
Mm. Okay.
Well, actually, but suffice to say, so I get on the bus, and finally I somehow find a bus, and I have to transfer...
For
buses at like the central bus.
Hold on, we had a little glitch. You had a transfer what? Hello? Fucking, we're glitching again.
Someone doesn't. But can you hear me?
We're gonna have to call you. I'm gonna have to call you right back. It's Skyping out. Call you right back.
Are you gonna see what you recorded?
It's still being recorded. Yeah, it's just. I just need to call you. Get another connection. That's all. All right.
Is it better now?
So you were transferring buses?
Yeah. So I get to the central bus station, and there's a woman laying in the street.
Yeah.
Now, that kind of freaks me out. That's not anything I've seen since then. It was just my first night.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I got to get out of here. So I get, and there's a female cab driver. So I get in her cab. I'm like, just take me to my friend's house.
Yeah.
She totally rips me off and overcharges me. I find out later, but whatever.
Okay.
Obviously, I'm totally, like, lost in space. But the story's getting really boring. Suffice to say, when I get to my friend's apartment and I see other Israeli apartments, I realize I kind of scored.
Okay.
And I was like, you know what? This apartment ain't too shabby.
Right.
So that gave me some perspective. Like, my shower is so small. It's, like, 2 feet by 2 feet. Like, I literally can't turn around in it. Like, I can't even hardly shave my legs, you know?
Uh-huh. Now, are you still at that apartment or what?
Mm-hmm.
So you're, okay. Did she give you a discount for monthly or what?
Uh-huh, she totally hooked me up.
Okay, good. What's the kitchen like?
We need to turn to the Kaiser Tech.
Oops.
What's that? Are you playing stupid things to make me sound stupid?
Yeah. No, it's not. No, somebody sent me a video and I was playing it, but sorry.
Like, it's a studio. There's not really a kitchen. There's like a hot plate and a sink and like a fridge that smells like mold. So I'm not even plugging it in because she's charging me for electricity too, which fair enough. It's expensive here.
It sounds a lot like my French apartment. Does it have any lighting or light from outside? Well, that's
good. No. It's like underground almost. So the windows are kind of like street.
So far, it sounds great. Okay.
Very French.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so I get food at the school. So I was like, you know what? I'm not going to plug in this moldy fridge and pay for electricity because all it's going to do is make me stressy when I'm home at night. You know what I mean? I get all of my meals at school, and they have, like, salad bars. So yeah. I'm trying to, like, eat healthy and, like, eat lettuce. But I always am eating greasy food anyway.
Right.
The whole reason I was miserable when I first got here, looking back, is, like, one, the culture shock. Like, nobody warned me about the neighborhood. Even people who knew were like, I'm sorry, I didn't want to tell you because I was afraid you wouldn't come. And I was like, you should have warned me. You know what I mean? So yeah. I had, like, massive culture shock from the neighborhood. But also, I'm going to get in trouble right now. I'm, like, sitting outside in a tank top, which is, like, really scandalous here.
Seriously? Wow.
Yes, yes.
Just in that neighborhood. Like,
Yeah. I just happen to live in, like, the most religious neighborhood in Israel.
What's the name of it so our audience may Google it?
I told you, it's called Har Nof.
Har Nox.
Yeah. It's beautiful. I'm, like, used to it now. It's cool. Like, okay. And people here are cool. It's just, like, they don't like me being in a tank top, but it's, like, a million degrees out.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
What is the temperature?
Huh?
What is the temperature there right now?
Like, right now it's 9:30. It's probably, like, 70 degrees. It's actually a beautiful night if you were, like, allowed to wear tank tops.
Yeah, it was 100 degrees here in Chicago. 93 right now.
In the daytime, it's like that.
Oh, okay.
And
desert.
Har Nof means mountain view, and the whole neighborhood is very steep.
Yeah.
Like, so, like, if you go to, like for me to go to school, it's, like, three blocks away, but it's really three steep staircases. Like, stone staircases up to the school. You know what I mean?
I'm looking at it now, and it looks like there's a lot of green space around you.
Yeah, I mean, it's right by the Jerusalem Forest, which is probably what you're seeing. It's beautiful. Yeah. I was just in culture shock. But what was really bumming me out is the rapper we were discussing on the last podcast was, like, like, just getting mixed up with him and, like, the hip-hop scene here, like, really harshed my mellow.
Oh, my God. So, I'm sorry, but I'm looking on Google at your neighborhood, and the first thing I see when I go to Street View is some Orthodox dude with a beard and a pointy hat.
Look. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It's not a pointy hat. It's not like gnomes. It's not wizard.
It is kind of pointy. It's kind of triangular pointy, like a, yeah, it's, I would say, steep. It's a steep hat.
I've never seen anybody here in a pointy hat.
I'll fucking send you a goddamn screen cap.
Yeah, send me. I'm not disagreeing with the picture. I'm just saying that that's not my experience. They wear borsalinos, which are, like, the hats Hasidic men wear.
Yeah, but it's not pointy. It's just, it's like one of those roofs where it's very steep in order to, you know what I mean, get blowjobs or something.
What?
Oh, fuck. Oops.
So anyway, should I continue now, or do you want to talk about the pointy hat?
In a minute, it's just my computer's being possessed at the moment. It's, like, weird. Okay, I can't send you the pointy hat. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I know
what the guys here look like.
Okay.
I see them every day.
Okay.
They glare at me. Yeah. Even when I'm dressed like a nun, I stand out like a sore thumb, you know?
Yeah.
So, hold on, I'm walking inside. So, let me kiss the mezuzah. So the reason I was, like, so bummed when I first got here was that I, like, got myself in a situation where I was, like, dealing with two of the most sexist things in the world, which are the hip-hop scene and, like, what I felt from this neighborhood. But, like, the more I experience it, it's really not sexist, and, like, we can get into that.
Okay.
But it's just different, you know?
Uh-huh.
But, like, hip-hop dude was, like, such a weird, standoffish dickwad. I was not feeling it.
Yeah.
And, like, the night after I got here, there was, like, a hip-hop show that my friends were throwing at, like, the tomb of King David's tomb.
Yeah.
And, like, it was, like, very much, like, collab, like, my shows I used to run. And, like, I'm not here to perform, but it just was, like, an annoying experience because, like, I wasn't allowed to perform because it was a holy site. Like, so women aren't allowed to perform.
Wow.
So I'm just, like, experiencing this crazy mishmash of, like, the weird sexism of hip-hop, this guy I messed around with being kind of a standoffish dick.
Yeah.
And, like, hello, I'm here and I can't perform because this is a sacred tomb.
Because it was the sexism of Judaism and the sexism of hip-hop.
Right, combined into one, like, delicious platter of nightmare.
That's nice.
Yeah, and I was like, fuck this place. And that's why I was feeling so negative. But I realized, like, I was putting off going to the school to start the school because, like, I had it a few days before I had to register.
Yeah.
And then when I realized that night, I was like, I'm the one making myself crazy with, like, trying to hang out with this guy who's, like, being kind of weird and, like, being around these, like, hip-hop guys.
Right.
Like, I need to just get to school. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he was like, finally, enough of like such a dick that night that I was like, okay, I'm done with this. He's leaving in a few days. I need to just go about my own business. So then the next day I went to the school to register, and my school is like a haven of much more open-mindedness in this religious neighborhood. So like I go and meet with my like advisor rabbi.
Yeah.
And he's like so cool. He had like a Tao Te Ching poster on the wall. I was like, okay, this is going to be okay. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And he's like super chill, like from Baltimore, and like so sweet. And he's like, how are you? Like, I just want to make sure you're okay and you're getting your needs met and you're happy. Like, they're so supportive and so nice. And like, the school is amazing. It's been kind of like, you know, a little like awkward, like finding my way and like finding my classes that I want to take, but they're like totally supportive about me switching classes and like getting my needs met, because like my knowledge is very checkered, you know what I mean? Like, I know a whole bunch about, like, esoteric stuff and mysticism, not, like, so much, not as much as someone who's really well-learned in that subject, but nothing about, like, some really basic stuff that someone who grew up Jewish would know, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'm just kind of, like, wiggling my way around and, like, finding my way in my classes and...
So what are you studying exactly?
Like, there's all kinds of topics, but luckily...
But, I mean, what's the whole purpose of what you're doing there?
Like learning Judaism. Like a lot of the women at this program are from a similar background where they grew up without a lot of religion in their life. Some of them grew up very religious. It kind of spans the whole spectrum of that.
Yeah.
And... spans a spectrum of ages, and there's even a few women older than me, but just a few, you know.
Right.
But like, there's one woman who's like in her 50s, you know.
Yeah.
So it's all over the shop, and like, there's everything from like basic, like how to have a Jewish marriage, and to like basic halakha, which is Jewish law, for our listeners who might not know,
yeah.
To like really groovy mystical stuff that I like prefer to study. Like, what I really want to, like, I'm having to stay really conscious and be like, okay, what is it that I want to leave with? Because it's really easy for, like, time does not work the same way here. You know what I mean? Time just goes really fast. And I don't want to like look back and be like, well, I didn't really learn anything. I like sat through classes of stuff I already knew. And stuff I wasn't that interested in, and like, I still can't speak Hebrew. You know what I mean? Like, I want to, like, get more fluent in Hebrew, both, like, Torah Hebrew, like, biblical Hebrew, and conversational, normal, contemporary Israeli Hebrew, which are quite different. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, those are two things that are really important to me. And, you know, I want to study more mysticism and stuff. And, like, what I'm really having to do, which is cool for me, because I'm, you know... fine with this, is like really kind of be my own champion, and like if there's people I want to talk to, like teachers wise, like just make appointments and like get tutoring and like get the one-on-one learning I need as well, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So this is really boring shit, but I mean, it's interesting to me. But like, so I finally have like found the rabbis who like I really really love, who are like really groovy. Like, there's this one rabbi here named Rabbi Refson, so awesome, like super mystical and like really into creative people and artists. I mean, people here, like when they find out I'm not married at 38, like it's like I told them I had a terminal illness.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's beyond, beyond, beyond.
Yeah.
Like they look at me like I told them that I'm about to die.
Yeah. And they don't immediately assume you're a lesbian?
No. Mm-hmm. No. They I don't know what they think.
Mm-hmm.
But like, you know, this one rabbi, Rabbi Refson, is so cool. And he's like, don't let this place, he's like, runs this place, like, don't let this place change who you are. Like, stay who you are. You're this amazing creative person. And like, you're going to find your way and like, make sure, he's like really helping me make sure that I get my needs met and, like, the learning I need. And he's, like, really into making sure I learn the Kabbalah I want to learn. He's like, it doesn't matter that you're not a man. Don't believe any of the shit you hear. He didn't say shit, obviously, but, you know, like, we're going to get your needs met. There's, like, a few really groovy rabbis. And, like,
so
some
of
my
rabbis...
What
are your needs, then? What are your needs? Huh? What are your needs?
Like, I'm into mysticism. Yeah, and mysticism.
Right.
You know, like, those are the things that get me off. And, you know, not so much, like, how to be a good wife is not really a class I'm as interested in, you know?
Right. Is there a class for that? Is there a class for that?
That's what I'm saying. Uh-huh. Like, a lot of girls come here and, like, stay here till they get married.
Right.
Like, meet with shidduch, who are, like, matchmakers, for the people listening don't know.
Wow.
And, like, seriously? You know, find... But they live in a different world than me. They don't meet...
Okay,
like,
but where are the other people from, though?
All over the place. Like, I would say mostly American, and then there's also girls from South Africa and girls from Australia and lots of girls from England.
Okay, so these are American girls that are coming to with matchmakers and they're going to get married in Israel?
A lot of them grew up in a very religious way, and, like, if you grow up in a religious way, like, girls are going to the girls' school and boys are going to the boys' school, and, like, where would you even meet them?
So are these, like, Hasids or what, generally?
Some Hasids and some are, it's Chassids, but some are Chassids and some are Orthodox. And, I mean, most, like, really want to be Orthodox, at the very least Orthodox or Chassids,
And their
you know?
Husbands that they meet, would they be mostly Israeli or are they other students from America also? Or how does that work?
Other students from America or Europe or people that are want to relocate to Israel. I mean, it's really not even... Listen, their marriage success rates are much better than the secular world, as you know. I mean, it's fine. And it's not like arranged marriages. Like, they meet the person and date them and see if they like them. You know what I mean? I'm just not at that place in my life.
Right.
I don't actually think it's, like, that bad of a model. It's like, if you're just in only a girls' school and the boys are only in a boys' school, where else would you meet them?
Right.
They're not going out partying.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I actually think it's... kind of better, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not at that place, obviously, at 38. But, like, if they were like, look, we have this motherfucker you have to meet, they're, like, amazing.
Do they
I would
want, are they trying to find you somebody, a matchmaker, or what? Are you just like, no, I'm not into that? Or what's the story there?
But it's not going to work out that way anyway. It's fine.
Yeah.
I'm not here to find a husband. I'm here to learn.
Okay. So... so you like it?
Yeah, I do. I mean, so I'm trying to think how to like some of my teachers are like rabbis that are like a million years old, like with long white beards. Like it's literally like being at Hogwarts and like having wizard teachers. It's like it's crazy. So they meet and they're like they're awesome. Like they're super funny and they super have a sense of humor and like are sassy and like these girls, like what is really weird that you have to kind of like unlearn and relearn is like when we think of like religious people and like what religious quote unquote pious women would be like, we think of like a Christian model and that they'd be very quiet and very meek and very kind of, you know, retiring, I guess, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
These girls, like religious Jewish girls are not like that. And like going to an all girls religious school means that they're not competing with boys for the teacher's attention. And like they're really smart. Obviously not all, I'm making a big generalization, but like they're like whip smart. They're not afraid to speak out. They're not like, you know what I mean? It's cool. Like it's they seem a lot healthier and well adjusted. Yeah. I mean, they're really more naive and innocent than an American girl would be, but I don't know if that's such a bad thing either. And I mean, I'm talking about like the really young girls, like early 20s, like different place than me, you know?
Yeah.
But it's like, it's kind of cool, you know?
So what, do you have like a social life or what?
Really? I mean, right now I'm like, I kind of do because I've been having like a really amazing Shabbos's and I'll tell you about that. And like, I have the rapper boys now that like, the one rapper boy is gone.
Oh, is he?
So I can hang out with like some cool girls at this school. But like, honestly, this school is like, sometimes it's like 13 hours a day. Yeah. And then at night I'm teaching online. It's really too much. Like I really have way too of my plate. So, yeah, I'm really hurting for a social life. And, like, you know, despite everything else, like, that motherfucker broke the seal. And so now I'm like, horny and frustrated and, like, just my vagina's dying.
So what is Jerusalem like compared to what you maybe had as expectations?
Jerusalem is, like, amazing. So, okay, so that was a school and blah, blah, blah. And then something really awesome that I did was I went and hung out with this girl, Ayelet, who owns Pole Dance Jerusalem, like, only pole studio in all of Jerusalem. There's, like, one in Tel Aviv as well. And
there's
it was
only
basically
one?
Just, yeah, I mean, Israel's small.
Yeah.
You know, it's, like, a very small geographic place. So there's one in Tel Aviv, and then there's this girl in Jerusalem.
Okay, hold on. The Skype is going cuckoo again. I need to call you right back again.
Hello?
Hi, sorry.
Hello.
Continue.
So I was hanging out with Islet in her little pole studio in her apartment. And, like, honestly, if I end up moving here, which, like, you really, I feel like I might actually end up moving here.
Yeah.
It will be, ironically, because of pole, like, not Hebrew. Like, she's so badass. And she's like, please move to Israel. She's like, I can't even keep up with how many students I have because I'm the only teacher here. It'd be so amazing to have you here. And then I was like, you know, she lives, like, by the Shuk, so it's, like, I was, like, oh, my God, now I'm in this neighborhood that's very vibrant, and,
what's
like, oh,
Shuk?
My God, I see. The Shuk is, like, marketplace.
Uh-huh.
So it's, like, there's gay people, there's people smoking, there's religious people, there's every, you know, it's just a very diverse, very vibrant neighborhood. There's people hanging out in bars, there's people, you know, laughing and smiling, and, like, it's, like, delicious food, and it's, like, this crazy, exciting, vibrant neighborhood,
uh-huh.
and, like, definitely where I would bomb if I was a terrorist. Like, there's so many people crammed in this small area, you know?
Yeah.
And, like, but it's, like, so amazing. It's so cool there. I mean, it's, like, dirty, but it's, like, so exciting, and, like, just all different kinds of people. Like, I haven't gone out once. Like, I haven't gone out drinking or, like...
Yeah.
done anything social, but, like, pole dancing with her felt so amazing. Like, I hadn't exercised once, you know, like, until, except for walking up the stairs, which actually is kind of exercise, because, like, just to walk to school, I have to go up those really steep stairs. But, I mean, like, I was like, oh my God, I'm stretching. Like, there's music on, and I'm, like, being still and sitting on the floor and stretching. Like, thank God, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And she's super awesome, so it felt really good to get on the pole and just, and then binged on a giant shawarma. Shut up.
Sorry.
And then I binged on a giant shawarma, and she made me feel, like, really... She gave me a greater perspective on what Jerusalem specifically had to offer me.
You know, my strongest memory of Israel is, and I was there, like, around bar mitzvah time, but... Bas mitzvah, sorry. And my strongest memory is I ate so much of that greasy Israeli food like shawarma and falafel that I just got so violent. Like, it did something to my gallbladder. Like, it made it just freak out. And I just started vomiting so violently. I was so sick. And I remember visiting, like, we were visiting some relative, and I just had to stay in the car vomiting out the window the whole time.
Oh, man.
So be careful with all the greasy food.
Well, that's why I'm really glad that I'm, like, at the school, because, like, the food there is really greasy and gross, but they also have a salad bar. So there's always, like, lettuce and cucumbers and carrots and tomatoes, and I'm trying to just, like, stuff my face full of that with just, like, lemon juice on it. And I still end up eating a lot of fat, greasy food because it, like, looks delicious.
Yeah, and it's easy, and it's probably what's open when nothing else is.
Yeah, well, I don't even, nothing's in my neighborhood, so it's only when I leave my neighborhood, and I'm still, like, completely retarded at getting around, so, like, every time I leave my neighborhood on the bus, I end up, like, except for, like, two or three times, I end up, like, getting lost and, like, having to take a cab home and wasting money on that, and then I stress eat and get a falafel and binge and cry and, like, come home.
Is that, but stress burns a lot of calories.
Not for me.
Is the reason you're in the neighborhood is because that's where the school is then?
Yeah, I'm, like, walking distance from the school, which is, like, a big deal right now because, like, most of my day is spent there.
Right.
And the school's beautiful. Like, it's on beautiful ground. And, like I said, everyone's really cool, like, really supportive of me. And, like, it's fine for me to be here for now. Like, what I had to keep reminding myself when I was, like, having anxiety at first is, like, I'm here for 3 months. You know what I mean? Like, I paid for the apartment through August 7th, which is, like, how long I'm going to be in this program. And then I'm going on this other program that's, like, 2 weeks called Inward Bound that I'm really excited about. That's more, like, you know, it has both genders, and you go on, like, tours, and then you learn at locations, and it's, like, in the old city. And, like, let me tell you about the old city. The old city is so awesome. Oh, my God. It is incredible. Yeah. The Kotel, I'm, like, obsessed with the Kotel.
That's the Wailing Wall?
Yeah, which you can tell from my Facebook, obviously. Mm. It's so great. So great.
Why?
It's just so magical. Like, there's such an energy there. Hmm. Have you heard the thing about the four energies? Like, everyone I talked, like, yeah, I know that. But I didn't know this. No, like, Rabbi Reb to tell me that basically there's, like, considered there's four cities in Israel that contain, like, the four elemental energies. So, Safad, have you heard of Safad?
Nope.
Safad is, like, where, like, many of the great Kabbalists lived, like, you know, hundreds of years ago. And it's, like, you know, it's, like, the Sedona of Israel, but, like, times a million. But just to give you a frame of reference.
Well, lesbians, right?
Yeah, it's, like, got an artist colony and, like, lots of mystical stuff happening. And so that's considered to be air energy. Mm-hmm. And then Hebron is considered to be earth energy.
Hebron?
And, Tiberius is water energy, and then Jerusalem is fire.
What was the second one? What was Hebron?
Earth.
Oh, okay.
Tiberius is water, and Jerusalem is fire. And, like, you can feel it. It really is, like, a fiery energy here. Like, people are very feisty, but then if you talk to them, they're like, what do you need? Like, it's like, it seems like people are really pushy and intense, but they're also, like, really fucking cool. You know what I mean?
No. What's the cool?
Like, someone, you might feel like I might be, like, getting on the bus, and, like, someone might, like, actually, like, literally push me, like, literally push me to get me out of the way.
Yeah.
So they could, like, where they want to be on the bus. Like, people, like, men don't, like, go, oh, let the woman on the bus first here. That does not happen.
Oh, okay.
But, like, if you think about it, it's actually, like, less sexist in a weird way.
Sure.
Because, like, the same person... Like, if someone pushed me on the bus and then I was like, help, like, do you know how to get here? They'd be like, oh, my God, what do you need? Let me take care of you.
Right.
So it's, like, this weird paradox where people just aren't fake. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
And they're, like, sincerely, like, pushy and then sincerely want to help, you know?
But are they mean?
I wouldn't say they're mean. They're just, like, abrupt. And then, but if you talk to them, they're, like, really sweet and helpful.
Okay.
If they can even understand what I'm saying.
How's your Hebrew coming?
It's still very bad.
Yeah.
Like, it's like the level of a very severely learning disabled four-year-old, I would say.
Wow.
Like, I can say hello and goodbye because it's shalom.
Yeah.
And I can say thank you, and I can say good night, and I can say good evening. I can say... tree. I can see, you know what I mean?
In other words, you can say anything that is shalom.
Yeah.
Everything is just shalom. Shalom. Yeah. Shalom.
Thank you. I made sure I could say thank you.
What is thank you? Gracias?
Toda.
Toda. I know. Toda. All I know how to say is ani rotze le'chol glida. Do you know what that means? I want to eat ice cream.
Nice. I'm ready to get a yummy ice cream shop.
That's the only thing I know.
But so it's interesting. So, like, I've been here 2 weekends and I'm, like, been fully Shomer Shabbos, you know, because, like, it's just so easy here. Like, I've been fully kosher the whole time I've been here because it's so easy here. You know what I mean?
Do you have two sets, like, of dishes?
No, I don't have any. I told you.
I don't have any dishes.
I have a refrigerator, so I just eat on campus.
Yeah.
It's great. It's, like I said, it keeps me from stress eating. It's fine.
And then, by the way, if you're going to post pictures, which you should... I would like, oh, people are here. I would like for you to please not use Pinterest. I can't use Pinterest because you have to, like, have a real identity.
Okay, it's Pinterest, first of all, grandma.
Yeah. But like, they wouldn't. They wanted my ID to sign up. Like, they wanted me to mail them.
You don't have to look on Pinterest. All my photos are on Facebook. Anything I post on Pinterest concurrently posts on Facebook.
Okay, but so they don't. But you can't click on them to get big, though.
Yeah, you can.
Oh, all right. It didn't work for me, but I'll try it again.
Try again, seriously.
Okay.
But, like, my pictures are really boring right now. I need to take some more interesting pictures, but, like, I don't know. It's been really interesting. Like, the things I really want to say, like, I spent my two Shabbases with, like, tons of Israeli soldiers because a friend of mine's father-in-law is a rabbi in the Old City. Like, literally, like, I'm not exaggerating, walking distance from the Kotel. It's, like, incredible. Oh. Like, behind, you know, you're, like, facing the Kotel. Is like ancient sites, like the last retaining wall, and then like you just like you're facing it, and then you just turn around and like walk up these like ancient stone steps, and you're like walking through these like ancient alleyways, and they've like, you know, put apartments in there. So it's like so cool.
Do they I don't know if it's still like this, but can you still go to like the Dome of the Rock and the stuff in the Arab Quarter or no?
You could go in the Arab Shuk, but you cannot go to the Dome of the Rock.
Really? Why?
No. Because, you know, I don't know. That's something that's very interesting. I feel like it's very interesting how everyone calls Israel an apartheid state, but, like, Arab Palestinians can be anywhere in the Jewish areas, but Jews are not allowed in the Muslim Arab areas.
Because I went there. I just remember you had to take your shoes off. So when did that happen that they...
I don't know. Like, I don't know if my information is straight, so I'm a little loath to talk about this. But my understanding is maybe that you can go, but you can't pray there or something. I'm not really clear on it.
I'd be interested if you could... that's the sort of thing I'm interested in because I want to like see what it's really like versus what, because people say so much propaganda.
Yes, I know. Let me tell you my experience already. Like, let me tell you. Uh-huh. I already knew how bad Israel's press was. Yeah. It's so much worse than we think.
Bad in what sense?
Like, Israel is so maligned and vilified. It is such an amazing, beautiful place.
Are you saying in the Israeli press? It's vilified?
No, American press.
Oh, American. Okay. Press. Yeah.
We get bad press. Israel gets bad press. You walk around in Israel, there's Muslims walking around. Yeah. I mean, I'm not in the occupied territories.
Yeah.
I don't know what it's like on the Gaza Strip, on the West Bank. You know what I mean? So I can't talk about that right now. Like, I'm not at the checkpoint.
I understand that.
So, but that's part of why I'm here. Because, I want to figure this out for myself. And I want to, because people just talk mad shit and they don't really know.
Right.
Like, for example, like, everyone always is talking about how women aren't allowed to pray at the Kotel, and women aren't allowed to sing at the Kotel, but men are, and women aren't allowed to dance at the Kotel, but men are.
But you're allowed to go poodle-oodle-oodle, aren't you?
Guess what? Women are singing their ass off at the Kotel. Women are dancing around at the Kotel. There's, like, super frum women, soldier women, regular-looking women, everyone singing at the top of their lungs at Shabbos at the Kotel.
And you can touch it and go anywhere around it, or what?
Yeah. There's a men's side and a women's side.
But they're
equal. I don't have a problem with that.
But are they equal?
Yeah,
okay.
There's women have plenty of room. The women are singing and dancing. Uh-huh. Like, they ask for, like, a level. See, what people forget, too, is, like, they ask for a level of modesty. Like, at the Kotel is considered a holy site, and they would prefer that you're not, like, in booty shorts and a tank top.
Right.
But guess what? Men, too. It's not like on the men's side. The men are wearing, like, tank tops and shorts. I mean, if you look at what a Hasidic man has to wear compared to what a Hasidic woman has to wear, the Hasidic men are wearing a shitload more clothes than the women.
Yeah.
And they don't even get to fuck around with color. Like, women, it's just like that you have to have shirts to your elbows and skirts to your knees. The men are in, like, black trench coats, fur hats, and a three-piece suit.
Okay, but is there stuff you've seen there that is sort of in the other way, like, on the other hand kind of thing?
Well, like, I mean, okay. Like my
something
second,
negative.
Yeah, my second day here, it was, like, 100 million degrees, and I was, like, with a friend, and I had, like, a tank top on and a cardigan over it to cover it because, like, I didn't want to be not sneeze, gesundheit.
Yeah.
And, like, I was on the bus and I was like sweating so hard. And I was like, you know what, motherfucker, like, I can't deal. Like, I'm taking off this cardigan. I'm just going to be in my tank top. And like, I definitely got a lot of stares. Yeah. And just now when I was outside, I was like getting stares. But like, once you get into like a different part of Jerusalem, like you're in like the city, girls are going out dressed however they want.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, I wish I could report something negative, and, like, I'm sure I'll experience it, and I'll share it with you when I do. Like, I'm not, like, some fake liar, but, like, I can't explain how bad Israel's press is. It's so much worse than we think.
And when you say Israel's press, you mean American
Israel's
press.
Israel's representation in the West.
Because it sounds like you're saying Israel, like, Haaretz or something.
No, like, Israel gets bad press.
Okay.
Like, Israel is amazing. Everyone I talk to is, like, super open-minded, you know. And I also, I feel like in Jerusalem, it's really intense. Like, you know how in regular life, like, you're a magnet and you draw shit to you, which is, like, on your mind?
Yeah.
Like, here, it's, like, intensified times a million.
For example?
Like, I was thinking about my, like, one of the teachers, like, I really love. Remember David Sachs? I sent you his podcast.
Yes.
I loved him. He's, like, a teacher I love in L.A. So I was, like, thinking about him. And then I met this girl who was, like, invited to the same Shabbos dinner as me. And she's from L.A. and studies with him.
Oh, wow.
Like, it's crazy. Like, you just meet people. Like, everyone you talk to, like, knows someone you know in this really deep connection way that is, like, something you were just thinking about. Like, it's really intense.
Uh-huh.
Everyone, like, treats you like family, and they're like, what do you need? Like, how can we take care of you? I mean, and I think it's partly, I don't know, it's just a really, really, really magical place. It's a really awesome place.
If you were to, like, decide you wanted to live there, would that be difficult in terms of logistics? Like, no, getting a job, getting a work permit, that sort of thing?
No, they want Americans to move here. They make it very easy.
Uh-huh.
It would be easier than getting a new place in LA.
Oh, really?
Oh, my God. I told you, they, like, throw money at you for moving here.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's partly because they want Jews to come back here. I mean, like, let's not kid ourselves. Like, they have an agenda, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. It's like, but...
And for you to go there, you don't have to go to, like, a West Bank settlement or something, right?
Oh, of course not. No. Okay. I would never want to live somewhere where there's that much, like, strife, and, like, people from both sides are like, I'm living here, right, like, to prove a point, which is, fuck you, you don't have a right to live here.
Right.
That is not of interest to me. I am, like, a person of love, and, like, I would want to be somewhere where, I mean, like, I walk around, there's Asian people, black people, white people, everything.
Uh-huh.
Maybe not so many Mexican people as LA, but other than that, you know.
What about culture?
What do you mean? Like, arts?
Yeah.
I mean, Jerusalem is, like, Tel Aviv is the cultural center, and I haven't been to Tel Aviv yet.
Mm-hmm.
And people, I mean, it's, like, hot as shit in Tel Aviv right now, so that's fine. But, like, that's where, like, the theaters are, and, like, the opera, like, everything here is centered around religion.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you hear people yelling in the street, and you're like, what's that? And it's, like, a bunch of dudes praying. Like, it's, like, crazy. Like, everywhere you go, and everyone's, like, there's, like, this, it really is, like, the city of fire. It's, like, this ecstatic fervor of, like, passion, but it's not, like, in that creepy fundamentalist way, for the most part, that I've experienced, where it's, like, seems that dangerous, like, crazy-eyed look where you're like, whoa, these people are wigging out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm sure that's here, but I haven't come across it. Like I said, like, I feel like you really are a magnet, and I feel like I'm a person who's, you know, of a liberal mind when it comes to, like, love of others, and so that's what's drawn to me. So yeah. I feel like when I was feeling negative and I was, like, feeling the sexism and, like, getting myself mixed up with both the hip-hop scene and feeling the offense of like the orthodoxy that I was experiencing, that's what came right to me. And as soon as I was like, you know what, I'm tripping myself out by, like, stressing on this guy who's, like, being a dick,
mm-hmm.
as soon as I, like, put that away, stopped coming at me.
Yeah,
it's really incredible here. Like, it's like, yeah, like, you know how just, like, you can see how things manifest in your life. You can see, like, how you, like, think, oh, I'd like this thing. And then, like, maybe a few weeks or a month later, it comes to fruition.
Yeah.
Here, it's, like, the same. It's just there's, like, no lead time. It's very instantaneous.
Hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm trying to think of other examples of that. But, like, I was, like, I really want to meet Israeli soldiers. Like, I really want to see if, like, what you hear about them is true and, like, what they're like. And, like, I get invited to a Shabbos dinner. Like, I was saying, like, my dear friend's father-in-law and his wife, like, totally took me under their wing and have been so supportive and taking such good care of me. And, like, they host dinners for Israeli soldiers.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm, like, at Shabbos with, like, 50 Israeli soldiers. You know what I mean? Like, it's just crazy. I just was thinking how I would like that. Or I think, like, you know, I really want to study more Kabbalah. And then, like, the same teacher's name will get mentioned to me, like, four times by four different people without me bringing up Kabbalah.
Mm-hmm.
It's really intense in a cool, good way.
What are the toilets like?
They're like deeper.
Mm-hmm.
They're clean for the most part. They're like deeper and they like seem to use a lot more water, but I can't really tell. Like they're the kinds that have two buttons where you're like, it's like a pee pee flush, poo flush.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like they both use tons of water, but mm-hmm. maybe it just seems that way. I don't know. But like even the public bathrooms I've been in, like, they're pretty gross, but they're not, like, crazy gross. Like, they're no grosser than a public bathroom in L.A. And, like, almost every restaurant in Israel has a bathroom that they'll let you use.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to America.
Right.
Like, you're just like, I have to pee, and they're like, go in there.
Yeah, you have to buy some food item that has an article in front of it in order to...
Yeah, like, yeah. They're just like, use the bathroom, whatever. Yeah. It's a stupid American. You're just like, what? What else? I went to the Dead Sea. That was amazing. Did you go to the Dead Sea when you were here?
Yes, that was one of the favorite things for me.
Yeah. Not like burns. Like, I literally have blisters on the bottom of my feet. The sand was so hot.
Yeah.
But so amazing. You like, you know, you like walk.
Well, it was like 25 years ago or more. So.
And like, feet.
Hold on. You're like getting sand. Skypey.
Clear crystal and you like wade out in the water and then you float and you just you really float. It's so crazy. You can like sit at the Once I got the water in my eyes, which are like whatever you do, don't get the water in your eyes. So like I probably got the water in my eyes.
Did you go blind?
No, I can still see. But I had to have somebody like hold my hand and walk me over to the shower. Like you really can't open your eyes once you get the water in your eyes, you know?
Wow.
Just gets worse and worse, but I like went and rinsed it out and went right back in. Like it's so awesome. Then I also got water in my ears, and I'll don't get water in your ears. I was like, whoops, whatever, nothing bad happened.
Okay.
And so this girl gave me a really good tip, like one of the little schoolgirls.
Yeah.
She's like, this may sound really weird, but don't fart. You get in the ocean. And I was like, what?
Why?
She's like, anything that opens up, like, it's going to burn.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right. I forgot about that. Yeah.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, my God, so thank you for the warning. She was like, because it's like, she told me she was, like, there with some girl, like, a year ago, and she, like, farted. And she's like, my God, my ass is on fire. My ass is on fire. It's like, everyone knows what you did. You know what I mean? Like,
and you didn't do that?
No, I didn't because I got warning. Thank God.
I'm surprised. I thought you would have done it anyway.
I didn't want my burning asshole, but it does burn your puss a little bit. I was like sitting out there in the water with these like this young like super chassid girl, and they're like long bathing. Like, this girl's like, doesn't it kind of burn down there? And the other girl's all, yeah, but I kind of like it.
Oh,
I'm like,
God.
I do. It's cleaning us out. Like you feel like you're super cleansed afterwards. Like it's crazy. The Dead Sea is crazy.
Yeah.
But I haven't been around like that Israel yet because I'm just like in school, you know.
Yeah,
I feel like I'm like not telling you the interesting stuff, but
yeah, me too, but that's okay. We can you gotta start somewhere.
Yeah,
so.
Do you ever have weird like if I chat you up on Facebook chat and you like don't know them or who they are, why they're doing it?
All the time because every day I try to wish people happy birthday, you know. But, like, a lot of them, I have no idea who they are. And sometimes I'll ask them, and they'll have no idea who I am. So
you're the one doing it, basically.
No, doing what?
Wishing people happy birthday that you don't know.
No, I only wish the ones that I do know. But I'm saying that I try and figure out who they are. And I'm like, so I'll be like, I'll email somebody that's like, how do I know you? And they'll be like, I don't know. Who are you? But we're
people
friends.
People chat me up, and I'm like, yeah. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
I feel like I'm not telling you any of the interesting stuff about Israel, just like the touristy stuff. So, like, I just want to focus and say, like, I know I've said this a few times, but, like what you hear about Israel is just not true. Like, it is such a beautiful, loving place.
Yeah, but you also just got there. I mean, don't you think you need to, your opinions will change a little bit?
For sure. I'm still on the surface of it. But, like, even on the surface, you can see how outrageously vilified this place is.
So you think it's possible you might, like, I mean, obviously I assume you'll come back because you're doing that show in New York.
But you I'm definitely coming back to do the show in New York.
But
that's
maybe, how likely do you think it is that you'll, like, come back there to live, or is it too soon to say?
I would say at this point it's probably 50%.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
My life in LA, my life in America feels like a dream. It never feels real. Nothing ever feels real. It always feels fake. Uh-huh. I never feel like I'm at home. I never feel grounded. And for, like, for whatever it's worth, all politics aside, like, this is not a political thing. Like, I'm not defending Israel's political right to exist.
Right.
I still believe Israel was created so that England and America could have a foothold in the middle of oil country. I don't think that this is, like, some manifest destiny, like, right, religious right for this country to exist. My feelings about Israel are actually, like, the opposite of what people might think, because religiously, I don't believe in, like, a religious claim to land and, like, kicking other people off the land. I don't care what religion you're talking about. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
As a human who is, you know, someone who believes in human rights, mm-hmm, I'm really glad there is a place in the middle of the Middle East where you can live and be gay and not be killed.
Mm-hmm.
And it really pisses me off when people who are, like, very lefty liberal people in America, like, complain about Israel when, if they were, like, dropped in the middle of the Middle East, they better thank God there's a place where they can live and not be killed for being gay.
Yeah. Except a lot of the times, from what, and then this could be the press, of course, but I've read about a few cases where there are people that are, that want to stay in Israel because they're being persecuted as gay in the Palestinian territories, but Israel won't let them stay, and they're sending them back to Palestine.
I've never heard of that, but I'll take your word for it.
I mean, I'd be interested.
Is that people can live here. Like, yeah, there's Palestinian judges in the Knesset. There's Arab judges. Like, there's Arabs in the army. There's Arabs that are cops. There's Arabs that are cab drivers. There's Arabs that are bus drivers. There's Arabs that are teachers. There's Arabs living here. And
so you think the whole conflict between Palestinians and Israelis is manufactured?
I am sure that it exists. Like I said, I am not in the occupied territories. Right. I'm not at the checkpoints.
Yeah.
But, like, if you're talking about a different thing, if you're talking about the Gaza Strip, or, like, if you're right next to the wall and you're a Palestinian person and your house is on one side of the wall and your work is on the other side and they put a wall up in between it. I'm not, like, pretending that that is not, like, a horrific pain in the ass, to put it super mildly.
Yeah.
I haven't had enough experience with those people or talking to those people to know what their life is like.
Uh-huh.
I've watched documentaries, I've watched the news, like a lot of people in America have, but that's what I have. I don't have firsthand experience of that, but I plan on talking to people, and I'm not, like, trying to whitewash any of that. It's, like, horrible.
Yeah.
But, like, I also know that if, you know, right over the border in Texas, if Mexico was, like, lobbing shoulder missiles, like, every hour into Texas, we would do the same thing in America that they did here.
Well, we did. We did build a wall.
Yeah, like, but I'm talking about with the, yeah, like, yeah. It's just ridiculous. And, like, I just, when people, like, I get a lot of, like, hateful emails and stuff. There's a lot of people who are like, I can't believe you're there. And Israel is a disgusting place. And Israel is, like, killing Palestinians. And Israel has no right to exist. And I'm like, how the hell do you, like, say this to me? And, like get the fuck out of America. Like, give it back to the indigenous tribes of America. Like, who are you? It's just, totally, it's wrong both times. Like, right. And that doesn't mean two wrongs make a right, and it's, like, okay for it to happen here, but it's just, like, ridiculous for any white person in America who is of European descent to talk to me about colonization.
Right.
Like, it's just completely ludicrous.
Yeah.
And, like, my experience here is that so far, all I can speak of my so far personal experience, like, I've been in the Arab Shuk, which is, like, the Arab marketplace here, which, again, I'm sure it's, like, it's kind of touristy, and it's also real Arabs living their lives and doing their shopping and, like, getting their food and going home and, like, whatever, you know what I mean? And, like,
yeah,
they're living here. Like, it's not an apartheid state. Like, it's just not. Like, apartheid is something different. When you have apartheid, you don't have, like, high-ranking officials and judges and stuff of that group. You just don't.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not. It's perfect. Like, I don't have enough information yet, but it's not apartheid. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm not saying, like, what do you do? Like, what do you do now? Like, here we are now. Like, if there was some uprising of, like, indigenous people in America, and they were like, you know what, we've had it with this shit, we're gonna get some bombs and guns, and we're gonna strap ourselves with bombs, and we're gonna walk into your stores, and we're gonna blow them up incessantly until every white European person leaves America, and that's that. We will not rest until we've done it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, like, how white European America would respond to that, but I doubt it would be as kind of, like, patient as the Israeli government has been, kind of trying to be understanding.
Yeah.
And, like, I don't think anyone has the right to respond with, like, that level of violence. Like, I don't know what the answer is, but I don't think America would take kindly to that. Like, if people are like, I'm looking at you and I'm going to kill you for being white. That's it. Like, I've had it.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I can just tell you what I've experienced thus far. But I see women, you know, in hijabs, like, right by the wall. They're not kept away. The Muslim people are not kept away from the Kotel or from the holy sites. Or, you know, the Arab Shuk is, like, right up to the Kotel. It's, like, at the Kotel. It's, like, 30 paces away. And, like, right there, there's, like, synagogues, like, in parts of the Arab Shuk that, like, Jews are not allowed to go to because the Arabs control it now, and they said, no, you can't use this synagogue anymore, period.
Yeah.
There's no place that I have experienced in Israel that's the reverse as yet. As yet.
Yeah, but you said you wasn't sure exactly what the deal was with that, though, didn't you? With the Dome of the Rock?
No, but I'm talking about the Arab Shuk, like the marketplace. The Dome of the Rock is, like, you know, a very holy site to the Muslims, and also a holy site to the Jews.
Right.
So it's an area that's, like, a very charged area.
Yeah.
Right now, and for, like, a very long time now, that has been controlled by Muslims. And, like I said, my understanding, I could be incorrect, is that I think Jews are maybe allowed there, but they're not allowed to pray there.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Could be wrong.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think, like, you know how you need a minion to pray, and so you need, like, a group of 10 men to do that kind of davening?
I think it's 12, isn't it?
No, it's 10.
Okay.
I think. Maybe not. I thought it was 10.
Okay.
But I think that you can't organize a minion there, you know, and that's the deal with that.
I see.
So, basically, I have no love life or sex life or anything like that. So, whatever. And now I'm just only around Jewish women.
And you don't miss L.A. or America or homesick or anything?
Not really.
No?
No.
Wow.
Let me see. I'm looking at it right now.
What? Minion?
Like, even, like, here, many Orthodox rabbis regard entry to the compound to be a violation of Jewish law. This is about the Dome of the Rock.
Yeah.
This is based on the belief that since the time the temple was destroyed during the siege of Jerusalem in 70 current era, the precise location of the Holy of Holies, the sanctuary entered only by the high priest, is not known. So that's, like, Jews saying, don't go there because we don't know where the Holy of Holies are.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not Muslims keeping them out. That's Jews keeping them out.
I see.
In 2006, the Temple Mount was reopened to... Okay. Until the mid-19th century, non-Muslims were not permitted in the area. Since 1967, non-Muslims have been permitted limited access. However, yeah, I was right. Non-Muslims are not permitted to pray on the Temple Mount or carry any form of religious artifact or anything with Hebrew letters.
Mm-hmm.
The Israelis help enforce this.
Okay.
In 2006, the Temple Mount was reopened to non-Muslim visitors between the hours of 7:30 and 11:30 a.m. and 1:30 to 2:30 p.m., blah, blah, blah.
So you could go check it out then, right?
As long as I don't have anything with Hebrew letters on it.
Yes, so are you going to?
Where's the apartheid state? Israel or... Okay, whatever. Like, there's nowhere in Israel where you can't enter with Arabic letters. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It's just funny, the apartheid thing is just very funny.
I think you should go there. I'd be interested to see.
Yeah, I would like to go check it out.
Yeah,
I would like to go. I mean, I really want to go to Ramallah, too. And I've talked to other Jews who are like have given me advice on how you can visit Ramallah.
Yeah, that
but
would
like
be good.
Actual law is like if they find you there and you're Jewish, like that they can arrest you and like you're kind of fucked at that point. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, but I mean, I know there are ways to visit, like when you come with respect and like, I could be Muslim or Jewish, like I'm Middle Eastern looking, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like I would do it in a respectful way if I were to do it, but like
well, I
a
imagine
lot
there's
of
people, some way you could come with protection too, you know, there's probably, you know, I know there's lots of soldiers there.
Well, Ramallah, no, see, that's the thing. It's not, it's under Palestinian control. It's not under Israeli control. It's mm-hmm. their area. They control it. It's theirs.
Okay.
And that's fine. That's their place.
Yeah.
I'm all about loving everybody. I'm not anti any group.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I just want to find out what's really going on, that's all.
And like I'm digging, like I've only been here like just over a week. I'm like digging up as much as I can, in the tempo that I can. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
And also trying to teach and go to school and hearing bombs go off. Like, there's been bombing here a lot since I've been here.
What are they? Who's bombing what? You know?
I don't really know what the late information is. Let me see.
Are you sure it's not like sonic booms from planes or something?
No, there's been really a lot of bombing.
In
lately.
Jerusalem?
Not in Jerusalem, no. In Israel.
Okay.
Gaza.
Is Gaza close to Jerusalem?
I mean, nothing's that far because Israel's really small, but, like, there's no chance of catching a stray bomb in Jerusalem when they meant to bomb Gaza.
Yeah.
Let me see. I mean, there's just a lot of, like, strife around the area, too, you know? Like, not just Israel. Like, all, you know, all the surrounding areas. There's a lot of, like, unrest right now. It's like, we all know, like, it's been going on in the Middle East.
Yeah. So Jerusalem's, like, right on the border of the...
Let me give you an example. Look, here's something that happened recently. Like, a Palestinian man, like there was two Israeli soldiers, and like the Israeli soldiers here, they have their Uzis, you know what I mean? And right. They're like, a guy ran up and he was Palestinian and he grabbed the gun of a soldier, just like ran up, grabbed the gun and shot the soldier. He didn't kill him, injured him.
Hang on.
And then
the
Israeli soldier.
Can you back up? Say that again.
A story that I was recently told was that a Palestinian ran up to two Israeli soldiers that had Uzis on them and grabbed the Israeli soldier's gun and grabbed it right off him and shot the Israeli soldier. He injured him, but he didn't kill him.
Yeah.
And then he had the gun and was like about to, who knows what he was doing. And the other soldier shot and killed him.
Yeah.
And then family went to court to sue the Israeli army for damages for killing their son.
Uh-huh.
And the judge was like, well, that was like a terrorist act, and we're not going to give you damages because he went and grabbed the gun off of the soldier and shot him. Like, just like what would happen in America, no matter who did that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Then they went and they took the case. They wanted to have it retried, and they took it to an Arab judge. And he said, you know what? What he did was wrong, but it wasn't an act of terrorism. It was just an act of violence, and maybe he was crazy or whatever he was, but it's not terrorism. Taking a gun from a soldier and shooting the soldier is not terrorism. It's just a crazy, violent thing to do. Uh-huh. So we will do the financial compensation for having killed your son.
Uh-huh.
So I don't really, you know, I don't know. Like, that's just a fucked up thing to do, no matter who you are.
So I'm trying to figure this out, because I'm looking at a map that shows the West Bank, and it looks like the old city of Jerusalem is in the West Bank, but I can't tell. Maybe it's just the way this map is. I'll show you the map. I just don't understand it, because there's like this red line around, like, some. Maybe that's the western part of Jerusalem. Let me just send you this link in Skype. There. Can you click it? Hello?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Oh, Hebron is in the West Bank.
Yeah.
Okay.
Are you there?
Yeah. Are you looking at the map? I can't hear you. You're gurgling. Hang on. I'm going to call you right back.
I don't know.
I'm going to call you right back. Just a sec. What?
Can you hear me?
Sort of. I think we're going to have to end. This is just sounding crappy. But
can you hear me now?
Sort of. Yeah.
No, it's because of this map.
Yeah.
Hold on like 40 more minutes and it'll be loading.
Oh my God, it's still downloading? That's why they forget it. Just get rid of it, because that's what's making it.
Yeah. That's what I'm telling you.
Wherever you go, slow internet follows, I guess. So do you have a phone?
Yeah.
Do you have a cell phone there?
Yeah, but it's like really expensive minutes.
Did you get the text message I sent you?
Yeah, I hope it didn't cost you a lot of money to send it.
Do you only get incoming messages? I mean, for free.
Yeah, it's not for me. It's going to charge you, I'm worried about.
I understand that, but I mean, for you, is it free to receive text messages and phone calls?
I think it charges me to, I think that it charges me to receive texts, but not to receive incoming calls.
Okay, can you find out?
Mm-hmm.
Because if it's like in Europe, everything's free coming in, but costs a shitload going out.
Yeah, that's the same as America.
Okay. No, but it's not free to receive calls in America.
Oh.
Yeah. Or to receive texts. In Europe, everything is free coming in, not going out. That's what I'm just trying to see if it's the same. Because that way I could call you on Skype. I mean, it would still cost me, but not that much. Because I would call you from Skype.
Hold on. I know. This is really interesting.
So the big news here is that...
I feel like we're going to get all these, like, hateful messages. Like, people so don't understand Israel. People are going to listen and get all mad and say I'm fucking anti-Palestinian and stuff. But I really want everyone to be able to live peacefully.
Well, there's people on both sides, because there's some people who are, like, crazy anti-Palestinian as well, saying they have no right to exist, that they're not a real people, and that sort of thing. So I think we'll get it from both sides.
I just feel like people are in pain, you know?
Yeah.
People suffer and then they lash out and like, fuck, like, I don't know what the answer is now. I don't like the way Israel was established.
I don't expect you to know the answer now, but I just would like for you to continue to try and figure it out. It's easy. I think it's always better to gather information when you're there and just try to do it, you know, with an open mind as possible.
And that's why I came here.
Yeah. I wanted to tell you that the big news here today is that Anderson Cooper finally came out of the closet.
Shut up.
Yep. Finally, so that's good. So now I have nothing to tweet badly about him anymore. Oh, well. I'll have to find somebody new to harass that's famous. But I'm going to go.
What did he say?
Oh, there's a quote. He basically said, you know, I'm gay, I always have been, and I'm proud.
I wonder what made him finally come out.
I don't know.
Maybe it's like, I'm almost 100, it's time.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe he was, maybe he's single again.
Mm-hmm. He's like, I'm on the prowl, girls.
Yeah.
All right. Do you think that would you freak out if I like married a Hasidic Jew guy while I was here?
No, I wouldn't. I just wouldn't want to come to the wedding if it's that far.
Oh my God, that would be so amazing. Are you kidding? You wouldn't want to come to Israel? It'd be so fun.
I would, but not to for what you marry a Hasid. I mean, I'd be happy for you, but I just hate weddings. But yeah, I would be happy for you.
You could do other stuff while you're here. That's what I'm saying. It's fucking Israel. It's so fun here. It's amazing.
Yeah. Well, I would like to go there. Yeah, definitely.
I mean, I don't think that's going to happen. I don't really think I'm going to marry a Hasid. I just was asking a silly question.
Yeah.
I think I'm probably going to die alone, as we've always suspected.
Everybody dies alone.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
So, but we've had good things here. You know, last week we had the healthcare judgment, which was, I thought, pretty amazing.
Yeah, people have had weird responses to the healthcare thing here.
Really?
Yeah, I don't really understand. I didn't really want to get into it with anyone who was talking about it because I don't really like discussing politics, or even when I'm in America discussing American politics, let alone with people who aren't there. Just like I don't like hearing about Israel from people who are in America and aren't in Israel.
Right.
So I didn't really get into it, be like, why is this pissing you off? Like, I don't. Some people are like really feeling riled up about it here. Like, why would they be mad about it? Can you even think of a reason?
Because they're indoctrinated Republicans or watch Fox News, that kind of thing.
They must be, they don't watch Fox News, but they must be watching their own version or something.
Or they're in their little, you know, the little echo chamber of whatever blogs they right. read, which are the, which is the same thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's probably some crazy shit like that.
I mean, can you see any drawback to the healthcare thing?
The fact that you're eating while you're talking to me?
Right. Can you see any drawbacks to the healthcare thing? I'll stop.
Well, there's drawbacks, but minor, nothing compared to like the it's overwhelmingly a positive thing. But I know people on the left that aren't that excited about it because they think, well, it ruins the chance for universal healthcare, which, of course, I don't agree with. I think it's a huge step.
How does it ruin the chance for universal healthcare to them? How do they think that it does that?
Because they think like... because it's not, it's privatized. This is continuing the privatized system as opposed to just scrapping it and getting rid of all the insurance companies and going to a single payer, which is, mm-hmm. which basically just means you're not going to have it. It's not going to happen. You know, it's the extreme views, like it's all or nothing, that kind of thing. Like it has to be right or not at all. And mm-hmm. the fact is we're a country where half the people are complete morons, and we're really, it's fantastic that we're able to accomplish that. So no, I don't really think there's, I really don't, can't think of any drawbacks, not really.
Yeah, like people forget not how really. Stupid people are in America, like people like, yeah. like my friend Y-Love, that rapper who I love, who just came out of the closet recently, remember I sent you his video, he's so great.
Yeah.
And he was recently, like, we were discussing on Facebook, but like, and be like, let the people decide. Let the people decide. It's like, if we let the people decide, right. we would still have, like, so many bad things in America. Like, most people are idiots and right. scary and dangerous.
Right.
Anywhere you go.
Right.
Like, thank God people stepped in and said, you know, we're not going to have, like, our schools be separated by race. Like, right. if we let the popular vote decide that, we'd still have,
oh,
you
absolutely,
know.
Absolutely. And women wouldn't be able to vote and on and on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
On and on.
Like, people are so ignorant. Like, when we, people on the coast were living in metropolitan areas.
Yeah.
Like, I was in Idaho the night that George Bush got reelected.
Yeah.
I was on tour. And I was literally in the state of Idaho.
Right.
Which is, by the way, a really cool state. So I'm not hating on Idaho. I just happened to be in the middle of America.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone's like, oh my God, this must be like voter fraud. There is no way America reelected George Bush. And it's like, yeah they did. Yeah, they did.
Right.
Unfortunately, like, I'm here seeing the people who voted for him. You know what I mean?
Right.
But, like,
yeah,
people
it's
are
amazing.
So...
Like, okay, you'll like this. You'll like this. And then I really do want to go. But, like, I was in Wisconsin, like, a few weeks ago for this relatives event. And, we stop at a truck stop to get some food. And, you know, they have one of these racks for the truckers to buy those tacky bumper stickers that truckers use.
Yep.
Well, there was one, and it was a picture of a stripper on a stripper pole, you know, with the that kind of stereotypical silhouette where it's you see the boobs and the pole, you know what I mean, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it said, I support single moms.
I've seen that.
Yeah. And the rest were, like, all about Obama's terrible and pissing on him and all this other nonsense.
Yeah, like...
It's weird. It's just weird seeing people... that are like that.
Like, yeah, like, we, like, forget. And when in the cities and stuff, forget. But, like...
What's weird about it is not that. It's just seeing people in that... of that opinion or of that ilk who are poor or middle class or... You know, it's so bizarre. It's just like, what's wrong with you? It's just weird.
Mm-hmm. It's terrifying.
You know, and to me, like, I was talking about somebody about this yesterday, but to me, the whole healthcare thing, like... I've always, and I'm sure you have too, always wanted to understand, you know, how Hitler was able to get this country to, you know, go for all this crazy shit. You know, like, how did the country support this? And of course, they're all repentant now. But how did a country allow this to happen? And I think if you look at, I think the closest thing that I can think of to that is the healthcare situation in America. Like, how can you convince a country full of people, the majority, to vote against something that is in their own best interest so obviously is just an exercise in understanding propaganda. And I think that's the closest example I can think of. Because to me, denying health care to people is basically a form of genocide. You know, you're just killing people. You're just killing people by saying everybody doesn't get health care. Because you have the capacity to give it to them. So you're killing millions of people.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And these people are not just against it, but they're just so vehemently against it. And they want to, like, leave the country and take up arms because, I mean, it's brainwashing. It is pure and simple brainwashing.
It's like they lost the plot. That's right. It's like they lost common sense.
And it comes back to that Freudian, you know, Bernaysian brainwashing. Good old-fashioned brainwashing.
Yep.
So... Anyway,
and we
have
to remember, like, we're indoctrinated that way. Like, our whole education system was created, like, the education system we still use in America, most of the world, the first world, was created during the Industrial Revolution in Europe to create quiet, well-behaved workers.
Yeah.
Who follow instructions.
Right.
So our brains are colonized from a very early age.
Yeah.
You know, and like you know, like how they always talk about, like, that study where, like, at Harvard, I can't remember if it was Yale or Harvard, where they tell you you're, like, electrocuting someone every time they get the answer wrong. Remember that study?
Yes.
Like, they always talk about it.
Yeah.
And it's like 66% of people will, like, shock someone until they thought they were dead.
Yeah.
Because they were told to.
Right, yeah.
You know, like, the percentage of people who said, no, I'm not going to press the button and electroshock that person was 0%. These were, like, highly educated Harvard students. You know?
The study must have been flawed, though, don't you think?
I don't know. They've repeated it, like, with slight adjustments a couple times.
But 0%?
I don't know.
It's weird. I mean, I think they probably knew that the person wasn't going to really die. I mean, think about it. You're in a study. You're an intelligent person. You're in a study at Harvard, and some Harvard, you know, scientist is saying, okay, well, if you hit this person button one more time, the person's going to die. You know that's not real.
That wasn't what they were saying, though. What they were saying was, like, if they get the answer wrong, you have to shock them. And then what would happen is they would pretend to keep shocking them until it went silent. They'd be like, okay, we need to stop now. They wouldn't be like, this will be the one that kills them. Hit it.
Yeah.
Whatever. Yeah, I mean, I have questions about that study too, but like, suffice to say, like, we have a whole culture of people who are like trained from a very young age to do what they're told.
Mm-hmm.
And like, that's how things like World War II happened too, you know?
Yeah.
People don't want to rock the boat. They don't want to get in trouble. They don't want to be the bad guy, you know? They don't want to, like, you know, not follow orders because we're taught to from so young. But it's just funny to me how so many people who are willing to, like, think for themselves and question the media on any other topic will, like, believe everything the media has to say about Israel. Do you know what I mean? Like, people who are highly intelligent who will question the media, right, whatever it tells them about any subject, but then they, like, go with, like, the most extreme opinions on Israel without questioning it or doing their own research. They just fully accept it. Like, people just fucking love to hate Jews. They hate us.
It's not just Jews. It's Americans, too. A lot of progressives will, a lot of times, and to an extreme, they will, like, believe anything that sort of comes off as anti-American, too.
Because, I guess.
Like, for some reason, propaganda is... It's just reverse propaganda, but it's the propaganda.
Yeah, it just seems to me like, it seems to me like people who will like question what they hear about many, many subjects will just believe whatever they're spoon-fed about Israel without even thinking twice.
I don't think the world hates Jews.
I do.
I think a lot of people do, and I think there's a lot of people that will use the word Zionism when they really mean Jews, but I think there's a lot of people that when they use the word Zionism, they are separating Zionism from Judaism. And I think that is possible.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm definitely not a Zionist. Are you?
No.
Mm-mm. Obviously.
Right. But you know, I haven't seen that much evidence of anti-Semitism.
I do.
You know, I've seen a lot of ignorance and, you know, and dumb, poor taste kind of things, you know, where people stereotyping it. But I wouldn't stereotyping us, but I don't think, with the history of anti-Semitism being one of murder and genocide, I think that word has to be reserved for people that want to kill us.
What, hatred of Jews?
Yeah.
See, but that just goes to show how deep it is. So if someone, unless somebody wants to murder and kill us, you can't say that they hate Jews?
I think you can.
You couldn't say that about any other group.
No, you can definitely say they hate Jews, but I just wouldn't call it anti-Semitism.
But of any other culture, you would. It's just that it's so common to be like, have complete genocides against Jews.
I don't know. I don't think it's all extreme in that way. I mean, I just think, I don't mean hate us. I mean, like a skinhead hates us. That's clearly anti-Semitism, even if they may not literally want to kill us. But I think if somebody just thinks that, you know, that sees Jews and laughs because they're wearing funny hats, that's not anti-Semitism to me.
No, me neither. That's right. I'm not talking about that.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the anti-Israel sentiment, I feel, and the willingness to believe the media when it comes to Israel, where people would question the media on other topics, is fueled by a very intrinsic hatred of Jews that I don't see about any other group. Except for gay people, maybe.
I don't think it is, because I think a lot of people are Jewish that have that opinion. And I don't think that is, because if that's anti-Semitism, then you're implying that comes down to self-loathing.
I think there's a lot of self-hating Jews. I think that America is filled with self-hating Jews.
Why would they hate themselves?
Because everybody else hates them.
According to who?
I feel like I know a lot of Jews personally who get a lot of approval, who have felt like an outsider and an outcast their entire life, and they feel like they can be part of a larger community that has always hated them by standing up and hating Jews themselves.
See, I can relate to that as a gay person, but not at all as a Jewish person. I mean, you know, to me, that me being different as a Jew was a good thing and never a bad thing. You know,
very different experience.
Yeah. Well, then, but you may be generalizing a little too much than your experience to other people.
Well, Well, I'm not saying all Jews that are anti-Israel are self-hating Jews.
Yeah.
But I just am saying I personally know some Jews, not all, I'm not generalizing, but I personally know some Jews who I feel have taken a very strong anti-Israel stance as a way of fitting in with their liberal comrades.
Well, the you know, labeling people isn't going to help either direction. What we need to do is figure out what's really going on. So that's what you can help with.
Well, I don't know if we'll ever really get to the bottom of it, because I think that, and I'm not saying that as an excuse to not try, but it's like every single person on this earth, every Jew, every Palestinian, is going to have their own unique experience. And even with me being here and trying to figure out everything I can firsthand, it's still just going to be my perspective from what I experience. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but your perspective from an experience is a little different from a perspective from reading a newspaper. There's a difference.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
There's a lot of separation. You know.
Absolutely. But I'm just acknowledging that whatever I come away with will only be what I personally experienced, you know?
Well, yeah, of course.
Duh. I could meet like a bunch of really fucking chill, cool Palestinians who seem pretty happy in life and be like, wow,
yeah,
it's not bad at all. You know what I mean? But of course there's terrible things going on here. Of course it's awful if you're like I said, your house is on one side of the wall and your work is on the other and you're just a nice Palestinian person. Like, the upshot is most people on this planet just want to live their life and feel safe and love their family. That's what they want.
Yeah.
I don't care what they are.
Yeah.
And it's really sad. It's a sad state of affairs that people can't do that still, either side of any wall, be it here, America, wherever.
Yeah.
I don't think it's okay, and it breaks my heart. And I don't know that I'm going to come up with some, you know, universal truth about that while I'm here, but at least I can have my own firsthand experiences. But like, the Jews, I said, it's very much a magnetic place. Like, the Jews I talk to are not Jews that are filled with hate and rage towards Palestinians, because that's not how I am. So that's not who I end up talking to.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean that there's not Jews like that here. I'm sure there's every, you know.
But then there's, like, I've seen several interviews of, like, Israeli soldiers who have supposedly defected because they didn't like what was being done to the Palestinians.
Yes. Absolutely. Like, there's whole websites dedicated to that.
Right.
And, like, that's real.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's true of any army. Like, armies and war are awful. Like, it's awful. It's awful. War is awful. That's not to, like, okay any bad thing happening. It's just, like, whenever you need people with guns, it's just fucking, that's a sad state of affairs. It's sad. And, like, someone's going to be suffering.
Yeah.
What I've seen firsthand is I've seen armed security, I've seen soldiers with guns, and I've seen Muslim people walking through those points where I am, which is not like security checkpoints at the wall. It's like in a very culturally diverse place, you know, that has a lot of tourists and a lot of people of every kind of race, color, religion.
But the Israeli soldiers are really hot, right?
Oh my God, they're so fucking hot.
I mean, as bad as it is, war, it is, something's very hot about the outfit.
Them, oh my
standing,
God.
Them standing over with a gun.
They're so hot. I want to fuck them all. Like, it's just crazy.
Have you been to, well, obviously we're at the beach. Did you see a lot of like Speedos? And?
No, because I was with a school group, so we were at the SNEAS women only part of the Dead Sea.
God. No thanks.
So it's going to have to be like after August 7th.
Yeah.
Come on, as a lesbian, you would love it.
Right.
After August 7th, I will be frolicking more and like visiting Tel Aviv and like being at like mixed gender beaches and like, you know, going to clubs and DJing and experiencing that end of things more. Right now, I'm very much in a little sheltered women only environment.
And when are you leaving? For good, like coming back to America?
Like after Rosh Hashanah, it's like late September.
Okay. After Rosh Hashanah, but not after Yom Kippur?
No.
In between?
Yeah.
Oh.
Why? What's
I'm just curious. It just seems kind of a weird time.
Well, I know, but I have to get back. Like, the show opens, that I'm doing, Flight 18, opens September 27th. And, like, I fly back September 20th, and, like, I just can't push it back any further.
And you're flying back straight to New York, right? Not to LA.
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm, like, out of LA. Like, I mean, I have some stuff in a storage unit there, but, like, my apartment's gone. There's nothing for me there.
Okay, well, this has been fun, but I need to go. And, yeah. So, I'm glad I didn't have to work today, so I was able to do this.
Yeah, it's really, really, really good to talk to you and hear your voice.
So it's like 10:47 there, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Good. Well, I'm glad you're.
You want to spend Yom Kippur with me?
In New York?
Mm-hmm.
No.
But I mean, Yom Kippur is a very depressing holiday anyway.
I'm so broke. Everything sucks for that, so I can't really plan anything. I'm going to Nicole's wedding in October, which is a huge expense, and I really haven't been able to plan anything other than that right now. So, yeah.
That's going to be fun, though, and at least you have my bed to sleep on.
I do?
Yeah, remember?
In New York?
Mm-hmm.
No.
But I mean, Yom Kippur is a very depressing holiday anyway.
I'm so broke. Everything sucks for that, so I can't really plan anything. I'm going to Nicole's wedding in October, which is a huge expense, and I really haven't been able to plan anything other than that right now. So, yeah.
That's going to be fun, though, and at least you have my bed to sleep on.
I do?
Yeah, remember? I feel like we are have this conversation every time.
You didn't rent it out or anything?
What?
I thought But The Rock isn't there.
The Brick?
Yeah. I saw your mom posted The Brick.
My mom took The Brick.
But she posted it on Facebook, like, yesterday with having dinner with it or something.
Yeah, she's just, like, teasing me with The Brick.
Yeah, she's trying to make you homesick, but it's not working.
She's not trying to make me homesick. She doesn't care.
Yeah, with The Brick. She is.
She's just teasing me.
Yeah. All right, Rachel, thanks for being on this and... Continue. Hope it continues to work out well for you, and that's it. Be interested in hearing more.
Yeah, now you're making me feel like I should stay here for Yom Kippur.
Okay, whatever. That's on you, you know?
Okay.
Not me.
No, I know.
Yeah. Okay, Rachel, well, have a good day, and have a great time. Hey, girls, call me if you start to freak out.
I will.
Because I know what it's like to be.